Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is such a joy when the Bradfords are here. It really is. It just lifts my heart. Thank you. And I can actually feel the difference in the room when you're here, because when we get up and greet each other, the whole room comes alive. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to 2020. Yeah. So, because I spend my life overthinking things, and I love the research rabbit hole, I was looking at a lot of the arguments online about whether or not this is the start of a new decade or 2021 is the start of a new decade. And it has to do with those who live by the Gregorian calendar, which is most of us, or the Julian calendar and the binary calendar. And what they say is there was no zero, so it had to be one. But I'll tell you what, we all function on the pretty much that it's 0 to 9. So that's what we're going with. But I also say, with the other version, that would mean that next month I will have finished my 65th year, as opposed to celebrating my 65th birthday. So it just depends on how you want to look at that. But anyway, so welcome to the new year and to the new decade. And, you know, I love the symbolism of the new year. I love the burning bowl ceremony. I actually, the part about Christmas that invites us to really go within that dark time in the winter solstice and say, what do I want to give birth to in me? What do I want to give birth to in the world? Because that, for me, is the story of Christmas. It's giving birth to that Christ consciousness, but it's giving birth to something new in me. Some new way of being, some new way of seeing. And so it's a beautiful time, and then we get to New Year's Eve, where we get to let go of that which no longer serves us. And then New Year's Day is, and this whole part of the ceremony has to do with nature abhors a vacuum. If you let go of something, you have to either choose again and choose something new, or whatever it was you let go of will most likely just rush right back into its comfortable little home. Right? Because a lot of times, sad but true, we are kind of comfortable in the mess that we have, right? It's familiar. I'm used to it. I know how to deal with it. I can have my grumpy pants on and I know how that works. You know, things like that. So so it's this opportunity to say, what do I want to have this year? What do I want to put into the void that was created by my release? So there's a quote that I love. Lord Alfred Tennyson said, ring out the false and ring in the true. So that's really what I think about that we're here to do today. We're here to ring in the true. And because Reverend Karen and I go through a lot of this work together, separately and together, before I ever come before you and do anything, and we were talking one day about the decade of themes that we've had for the last 10 years. So in 2010, I talked about leaning into the divine. And that was a year, kind of chaotic year at the end of the year. I've looked back at a handful of decades, and there does seem to be kind of some turmoil that takes place as we get ready to make a big step, a big shift. That was the case here. In 2011, humorously, the theme was, does the shoe fit? Now, Reverend Karen came in 2011, so we got a new pair of shoes in the house. We talked about thriving in 2012, being vibrant in 13, saying it's good to be alive in 2014. We were bright with promise in 2015. I loved that year. It's an exquisite quote in the Science of Mind textbook. We said, this is the day, and then we had a year of values-based spiritual living. We spent a whole year looking at our roots for the 100 years of the Science of Mind. It's the anniversary. And last year was a fabulous year because we looked at what matters most. And so for me, as I sat and looked at what I needed to let go of, that question really rang true for me. What really does matter most? And there's a Zen master, Suzuki Roshi, who, when asked the question, what matters most? And his response was, what matters most is what matters most, right? It's what we make it to be, because all the meaning in life is made up by us. So in 2020, we are looking at having 2020 spiritual vision. And the question for the year is, what do I see today? Because you know what we see is what we expect to see. That's a big part of what we teach. What we believe, what we think, what we put out into the universe is what we see coming back to us. So there's a quote on the front of your bulletin, and it says, "Let us learn to see as God must, with perfect vision." And there's a quote from Love and Law. It says, "But be satisfied if within your own consciousness you can see a mental unfoldment, a greater reaching out and taking in more and more. And when you feel your vision is enlarging, as it enlarges, just reach right out and take hold of everything." Take hold of everything. So I always have a ceremony today, this first Sunday of the year, and I always do different ones. So this year is white stone ceremony today. So just to get the sort of logistics out of the way, does everybody have two stones and a pen? If you do not, raise your hand and Fred will fix you up. We got some back here. Two stones and a pen. So at the back, on both sides, I think. Oh, and here too. Good. So I love the white stone ceremony because it's about choosing, being released and choosing new. So we'll go over that at the end of the service. But if you look at it from a perspective, this year's twist will be with focusing on having 2020 spiritual vision in every area of our life. And so the word we'll look at, creating, has to do with what is that guiding light, that guiding word that we want to have that can be our touchstone to bring us back to having that clear spiritual vision, to being able to see beyond the small and into the infinite. Because the vision of the infinite, the vision of the divine, is truly infinite possibility. There is no limit to the divine. And we are completely at choice. Probably my favorite thing about this philosophy is it teaches us we are always at choice. And no matter what is showing up in your life today, good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, we can choose again. And if it's unpleasant, rather than beating ourselves up for why it showed up in our life, we can just simply stop, ask for a lesson if there is one to be had, but mostly just choose again. What do I want? How do I want to be? Who do I want to be? What qualities of God do I want to be the dominant qualities of God in my life? And so as I look at that question, what do I see today? For me, I know that we are human, right? So we have days where we don't see the highest and best, where we see lack, where we see limitation. It's pretty easy in this culture right now because it's kind of a tumultuous time. And it's very easy if we don't have a very vigilant consciousness to slide off that particular abyss. Because no matter what it is, whether you look at politics or health or environment or all kinds of things, it is really the threat of world disagreement, shall we say. We teach about the macrocosm and the microcosm. It cannot happen out here unless there are enough of us who are having it happen in here. And so I really believe it is incumbent on us, those who have made a conscious choice to say, I choose to stay awake. I choose to see things differently. I choose to see the highest and best. I choose to see unity. I choose to see oneness. I choose to see peace. I choose to see joy. I choose to see love. That is our choice. And each one of us who takes a stand and says, I choose love, I choose peace, I choose joy, whichever it is that comes up for you, we take a clear crystal consciousness and flood it into the murky consciousness of the collective consciousness of a whole. Those thoughts, those beliefs, those ideas that are from the past, the present, that it floats out there. And Thomas Troward talks about the fact that if we don't make conscious, clean, awake, aware choices, that we simply fall victim to the law of averages. Right?
Boom.
Yeah. So the law of averages say X number percentage will have this happen, X number percentage will have that happen, X percentage will get sick, X percentage will get rich, X percentage will get poor. Just the law of averages. I don't know about you, but I want more than the law of averages. Right? I want more. And the great part about this philosophy is that's what we teach. It's ours for the taking. Infinite possibilities are ours to claim. And in that macrocosm, microcosm, it's me that I can't heal you as much as I'd love to. I'd love to be able to say, my husband is home today. He's not feeling well. I would love to be able to shift and change his consciousness to make him feel better. But that's not mine to do. What I can change is how I feel, and I can change how I act. Because how I feel and how I act then can have some impact on the world around me. But it's to keep that perspective. It's all, I always go back to, there's my job. It's about me. Fixing, changing, healing, loving, kindness, tenderness. And there's God's job, how that unfolds. How is not my job. I don't always believe that. A lot of times I think, maybe it is. So it's the process of saying, remember, what's God's job? What's my job? My job is to state an intention. My job is to claim what I want from the infinite possibility of life. My job is to believe that I can have it. My job is to believe that I am worthy of it. My job is to believe that nothing in my past impacts my future. Ernest Holmes talks about the fact that the past is not the precedent for the future. Each and every moment we can choose again. And that is the great joy for me in looking at this time of year and saying, Spirit is calling us. I really believe, if you are in this room, I truly believe it is not by mistake that you are here because Spirit is calling you to something more. It is calling you to a bigger way of being who you are. It is calling you to a greater sense of loving kindness and compassion, calling you to a clear, clean vision of who you are and who we are and how life works. It is calling you to be more acutely aware that we are one with the divine, that it lives and moves and has its being in, through, and as me. I remember the talk that Cheryl gave, I don't know, last year, maybe the year before, I can't remember. And she played, I listened to it on the way here. I am the place where God shows up.
Yeah.
And it's Eddie Watkins Jr.
Yeah.
And the song, he keeps saying, I am the place where God shows up. I am the place. And that's true for each and every one of us. I am the place where God shows up. Will you say that with me? I am the place where God shows up. Try to mean it a little more. Ready? I am the place where God shows up. And I think that the more we really can believe that, we can assimilate it, we can see it when we look at ourselves in the mirror. I am the place where God shows up. Think about that. Think about starting your day looking in the mirror and saying, I'm the place where God shows up. Would that not affect how you look at life? How when you say, what I see today, if I start with, I am the place where God shows up, it can make a massive difference. So there's an interesting thing about seeing. again, you know, the research rabbit hole that I love so dearly. It's interesting, you know, on the internet, you'll see those little optical illusion things like you read a sentence and it has the word you in it twice. And we don't see the second you. Why? Because our brain doesn't need to see it. It knows what it thinks the sentence says, and so that second you is irrelevant. Right? And the illusions were, if you look at it this way, it's a beautiful dancing girl, and if you look at it that way, it's an old hag. The research shows that if we could absorb absolutely everything we saw, we would be on overload. And so the mind begins to filter out that which is known, that which is doesn't seem a part of what's important here in this moment. So the brain is always looking for, sadly, places where we could be harmed, where there might be danger. They call it the fight-flight-freeze syndrome, that it is the default mode of our brain because of years and years and years of trying to stay away from saber-toothed tigers and marauding tribes and having to figure out where to find our food and water. So the brain has this default mode. And what I've learned about that is that if I stop, if I look, the old adage, stop, look, and listen, right? That I can see there are times when I go down that spiral of, because it also usually tries to make us wrong. And the bad part about that whole storytelling thing in the brain is it absolutely doesn't care if it's accurate. Absolutely doesn't care about accuracy. It just cares about having it make sense in our world. And so we see what we expect to see. And that's what we teach. It's done unto you as you believe. We see what we expect to see. We treat each other how we want to be treated. We teach other people how to treat us. I hate that. I would tell you I love that. Sometimes I love it, but not always. There are a lot of things about spiritual principle that at times I go, really? I heard Carolyn Miss talk one time, and she was talking about, how do we know when it's God's good idea or our good idea? And her response was, usually when you go, are you kidding me? It's God's good idea. Because God sees so much bigger than we do. God sees us in infinite possibility. And so when we open ourselves and we say, God, what is next for me? Universe, show me the way. Use my hands, use my words, use my actions. Lead me, guide me, direct me. And the universe does. And we go, not that. Seriously? But the reason it does that is because we have within us everything that it takes. Absolutely everything that it takes. God does not put before us anything that is not for us. Because we can stop, we can look, we can listen, we can be at choice. It gives us wisdom, it gives us insight. Carl Jung says, who looks outside dreams. Who look inside awakens. That's our job. Awaken. So the more we listen and the clearer we see, the easier it is to see that we're being called to this greater experience, the easier it is to follow the guidance. I have a prayer that I say every morning. I have since, I don't know, probably 40 years ago. It's usually the thing that comes through my mind before I open my eyes. I believe in God. I believe I am divinely guided and directed. I believe I always take the right turn in the road. I believe God makes a way even if I see no way, and for this I'm truly grateful. I believe the universe, spirit, divine, God, whatever you want to call it, people laugh at me when I say this, but I believe it. It's like a GPS. So you know when you got your phone and you're going to go somewhere and you make a wrong turn, if you have the voice on, it says, recalculating, go 120 yards and then turn left at X. And, you know, and it gets you back on track. Because we are made in the image and likeness. We are one with the divine. It indeed is we are called to become more than we think we can be. So thoughts are things, Ernest Holmes says, through inner spiritual vision, you know that good alone is permanent and all else is transitory. all else is transitory. Only good is permanent. Because we can choose again. Always. He says, you know that right finally dissolves everything opposed to it. The power of spirit is supreme over every antagonist. Therefore, you should cherish no fear. And when you neither fear nor hate, you come to understand the unity of life. My favorite Bible verse, potentially ever, is Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to me and I will listen. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. This philosophy is based on the notion that the universe conspires to bring us our good, that there is only good, there is only good, and it is available to us at every moment, regardless of what the exterior looks like. It is available to us in every moment. So at this time of year, I tend to do a lot of looking at the work of a man by the name of Father Greg Boyle. And he has—he is in charge. He's a priest who's in charge of a place called Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles, and it is the largest retraining and reentry program for gang members trying to get out of the life and people being released from prison. And he has the most compassionate, kind, tender, loving way of seeing the world. And he talks about the fact that love is really this complicated word, but tenderness most of us can feel, right? With love, we can get all mucking up with, you know, is it this kind or that kind? But tenderness. For me, that is exquisite. So Wendy Craig Purcell has a book called Ask Yourself This. I talk about this book often. It's a great book if you like to journal. And one of my favorite questions of hers is, how big is your God? Yeah. Ask yourself that. How big is your God? Is your God, mayday, mayday, going down, save me quick? Or is it really that big God that regardless of what's happening, we always take the right turn in the road and God makes a way even when I see no way? How big is your God? The question right after that in the book is, and how long do you give God to work it out? Some days, pretty good, yeah? I mean, most of us, pretty good some days. Other days, it's like, that wasn't fast enough, I'll take it back. In the blink of an eye, a beat of a heart, but it's the nature of our being. But one of the things I love about Father Boyle, about Father Greg, the guys in Homeboy Industries, guys and gals call him G. And he says, God can get tiny if we're not careful. Right? God can get tiny if we're not careful. Human beings are settlers, but not in the pioneer sense. It is our human occupational hazard. I love that term. It's our human occupational hazard to settle for little. We settle for a puny God. He calls it sometimes a third grade God. And don't you want to graduate past a third grade God? I know I do. But he says that God is like a protective sheepdog that wants to guide us back to the expansiveness of God's own longing. God's own longing. And God is something that is love and peace and kindness and happiness. Meister Eckhart, if you translate it from German or if you use just the sort of English sentence structure, I like the German part. And it says, it is a lie, any talk of God that does not comfort you. It is a lie, any talk of God that does not comfort you. It is incumbent on us to really stop and change the way we perceive the universal mind that divine spirit, whatever you want to call it, it is a lie if any talk of it does not comfort you. And when I'm suffering, because suffering is a part of life, you just don't get out of life without having some things hit the fan. But that process of knowing that that divine spirit is a great comforter. And in this time where we're kind of in the world of, I've heard a lot of people talk about it lately, and they talk about it as other, right? People are looking around and seeing other instead of one. The other side of the aisle, the other religions, the other creeds, the other nationalities, the other races, the other beliefs, the other wealth, the other, you name it. When we see the world as other, we build an immediate separation. Maya Angelou talks a lot about the fact in one of her poems about the fact that when we look for our common things, we find them because there are more things that we have alike than we are different. So in this world where we are kind of in a turmoil, Eric Butterworth in the Flow of Life, which you'll be finishing up this week, favorite book. In the Effusion of Light chapter, he says, we are living today in a complex and changing world. Ernest Holmes has talked about it. Every single writer, philosophical writer, will almost always say, we are living in a changing world. Yes, because life is change. But anyway, we are living in a complex and changing world. If there is one thing one needs more than anything else, it is light. Light in terms of insight into self, guidance along life's way, knowledge of the secrets of the universe, and wisdom to use the light and not abuse it. And it's on us to be willing to say, what am I going to put out into that collective consciousness this year? He says, and yet invariably the search has been out there. We have thought of light in terms of ideas and innovations or minds that gave birth to them. Light is the reality of God within all creation. It is the reality of our own potential. All overcoming, all healing, all self-expression is the inevitable effect of the dawning of light within and its effusion without. It's the firsthand experience of God. It's that personal belief. When people ask me about our philosophy, one of the things I will end up talking about is the fact that we teach that God is individualized in us all and personalized as us all. And that it's about building a relationship with that divine that dwells in us and moves all around us, that is the connective tissue that makes us one. And I am very grateful for that. I am very grateful for that. So it's really about saying, what do I want to be this year? What do I want to see this year? How do I want to look at life this year? I will tell you that when I did the wrap-up, I was not thrilled with my year. I was not thrilled with the answer to some of my questions, and so I had to do a separate release that said, no beating yourself up for the fact that things didn't go well, because it's a unique human gift. And as we did the ceremony to find our own word, a couple times in my life I've had words come up where I say, no. Absolutely not, God. Absolutely not. One of them was perseverance. Until the person I do my own personal work with said, Sue, why don't you try to persevere to let more joy into your life? Persevere to let more God into your life? Persevere to let more life and laughter and love? I went, okay. I still don't like that word. Can we call it something else? He's like, Sue. But he's used to me. But this year, as I was writing on my stone, the word kept saying support. And then there was this big pause, and it said, there's more. Ed, support Ted. Not just support, you know how to support people. What you're not so hot at is being supported. I wanted to put that little stone right back, just like perseverance. Because I'm not good at it, right? We don't like things. But a whole part of the process is to saying, what am I willing to be this year? Who am I willing to be? So in the Science of Mind textbook, it says, in demonstrating over conditions, the only inquiries we need to make are, do the things we want lend themselves to a constructive program? Do they express a more abundant life, rob no one, create no delusion, and express a higher degree of livingness? If we are able to answer these questions affirmatively, then all of the universe, the power of the universe, is back of our program. Not some of it, all of the universe's power backs us up. So I'm going to ask you, I saw a fish came up and got a stone. Anybody else sneak in that needs stones and pens? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do here. We're going to get involved in the ceremony, and it's really about who we're being called to be. What do we want to see? How do we want to see it? How do we want life to unfold for us this year? How do we want to see ourselves in 2020? How do we want to see the world? That's a really big thing right now. How do I want to see me, and how do I want to see the world? So the White Stone Ceremony is based on a quote from the Book of Revelations. And when I first did a White Stone Ceremony, I thought, Revelations? Isn't that like the crazy book of the Bible where there's four horsemen of the apocalypse and disaster and mayhem? And it's like, open your mind here, open your mind. But it's about learning to release and let go, and then choosing again. So there's a thing called wing walking. Do you remember in the barnstorming days when they would have the biplanes and people would get out on the biplane wings and they would walk? A rule of life with wing walking is never let go of this strut until you have a good firm hold of this one. The results are pretty ugly otherwise. But in spiritual work, it is not wing walking. It's being willing to let go and trust that the divine has a great idea for us, that what the divine creates will be far better than anything we see. And so our job is to declare it. So you have two stones because we're going to go through a meditation and we're going to look at allowing the divine to call forth a word that will be the word that helps us see clearly, that helps us answer the question, what do I see today, to see it from that higher perspective. So that word will bubble up and make itself known to you. But I've given you a second stone because in this new decade, in this fresh start, in this year of great change, I also want us, I'll take you through a little bit of period of time where we'll look at this center. How do we want the universe, the divine, to show up here at this center? And on the other side of the stone, I'll ask you to do the same for the world. How do we want to see the world? How do we want to see the world? Okay, so you're ready? So that's why you have two stones. And we're going to do the personal stuff first. So I'm going to ask you to just hold one stone in your hand. It's a little dusty. Usually I clean them before I bring them. This time I decided to leave the dust because really, dust is a part of life. So allow yourself to just take that stone, rub it in your hands, pick it up, look at it. They all look different. They are stones from Jerusalem. It's from a company called Jerusalem Stone. So this is actually stones from, I believe, Hebron. And each one will be slightly different. It will have different veins. It will have some imperfections. It will have slightly different coloring. Because each of us is slightly different, with different veins and our own imperfections that actually are part of our beauty. So I'm going to ask you to hold on to that stone and to just begin to just fall into that divine expression of who you are. Fall into that beautiful, exquisite place of infinite possibility, into that place where the divine knows no bounds, where love is everything, where peace passes understanding, where joy exudes, where peace and happiness combine, so that that joy is astounding. Where there's kindness and tenderness and compassion and wisdom and clarity and understanding and patience, tenderness. Allow yourself to fall into that exquisite space of the divine that knows only love, knows only peace, it knows only joy. Take a deep breath and just allow yourself to be in that space for just a moment to feel that wisdom bubbling up in you, around you, as you. Knowing that nothing stands between you and the divine, absolutely nothing gets in the way. There is only that. And allow yourself to begin to open to a new way of seeing, to a new way of being, to a new way of experiencing life. And here's the quote from Revelation. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, victorious and overcometh, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give a white stone, and on it the white stone, a new name that no one knows except for the one who receives it. In biblical times, when someone was released from prison, they were allowed to have a white stone. That was like their proof that they had done their time. And they were allowed to start fresh by choosing a new name. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the followers of Jesus horribly until he had a vision and he became Paul, one of the most prolific writers of the Bible, books of the Bible, because he was able to choose again. So if we look at that Bible verse, what we're conquering is our limiting thoughts and beliefs. To everyone who conquers, I will give some hidden manna. And manna comes on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Not give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread or our yearly bread, our daily bread. We don't have to know where our good is coming from. That's what the hidden manna means. Manna is the divine substance which is everywhere present. It is our spiritual food that we use to become nourished and whole. It is the energy that we need in order to reach higher states of consciousness. This white stone in your hand is proof of being free from that bondage, of conquering those limiting beliefs. And the new name represents the quality of spirit that for this year will be your guiding word, the touchstone to see life clearly, to see the divine in everything. Remember that the white stone is that which assures us freedom from past acts, the symbol of overcoming adversity, a shift in consciousness, a deeper awareness. So allow yourself just to take a deep breath and begin to allow that activity of the divine to bubble up, that word or words or idea or image that allows you to say, this will always guide me home. This will be the light that reminds me to see life from the perspective of the divine. And for some of us, it feels forced, it feels difficult, but just allow yourself to pretend, to suspend disbelief if this is challenging for you. And open. For some of us, I have known people who have held the stone and come to me after the service and said nothing came, but they came to me a week or two later and said, but it showed up. So know that this process begins today and moves on. It goes forward. So as you're guided by Spirit, allow yourself to take a moment and write on your white stone that word or quality of God or image or idea or concept. Write it on your stone, that which will always guide you back to clear sight, to clear vision, to 2020 spiritual vision. Behold, I make all things new, for you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. That is true of who you are. The divine is well pleased. Who do you want to be in this upcoming year? How do you want to see life? And allow yourself to give thanks and to be grateful, even if the word is yet to come. For the knowing that the divine that dwells within us all is constantly bubbling up. It is constantly, every moment of every day, making itself known. Our only job is to stop, to look, to listen, to be open, to see clearly. Give thanks for that knowing that indeed we are one with the divine, and there is virtually nothing that can stand between us and infinite possibilities as we open our hearts and minds. As we use the law, as we understand the truth of who we are, that we are indeed worthy of love and belonging, that we are perfect exactly as we are, that there is nothing wrong with us. We are made in the image and likeness of that divine. And now I'm going to ask you to do the same with your second stone. Take it in your hands. Allow yourself to just move it around, feel it, stop, take a look at it. Maybe look at the two sides, and maybe there's a side that's the center, maybe there's a side that's the world, maybe it doesn't matter. But allow yourself, for those of you who are regular attendees and members here at the center, to stop and think, what is it here in this place that draws you? What is it that we teach? What is it about this connection, this community, that touches your heart? What is your highest thought for this center going forward? What beauty of the divine, of the infinite possibility, do you want to hold as the clear vision this year for us? For we are a joyful, loving community. We are hardwired to connect. allow yourself to write that word if one has come to you. And now I'm going to ask you to turn it over, to take a deep breath, to think about the world as it is today, all of its good, all of its less than exciting, all of its neutral, the world just as it is. Some of us like things, some of us dislike things. We all believe things deeply, and sometimes they're in direct opposition to one another. Pema Chodron talks about everyone wants peace, we all just have different ideas how to get there. I think that's where we are in the world today. We all want connection, kindness, love, compassion in deep down inside of us, even if on the outside it doesn't look that way. Because when we see different, when we see other, it's frightening. So allow yourself, if you could imagine, we had 1 year where the Centers for Spiritual Living, we have in our global vision statement, we talk about having a world that works for all. A world that works for all includes people who are different from us, people who don't believe what we believe, who don't think what we think. There's a sign on a Catholic school in Belfast. It says, if I were raised where they were raised and I was taught what they were taught, I would believe what they believe. Can we open our hearts to our differences as well as our commonness? Can we see things from a higher vision? Can we see things? We teach that in prayer, we see it already done. We believe it is already done. So your vision for your highest vision for the world, whatever it may be, whether it's living in harmony or peace or kindness or compassion, whether it's clean air or a healthy environment or healthy people, or doesn't matter. Each of us have a different piece, which is good, because each of us will put our own energy into the universe. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the ones to make a difference. We are the ones to change the world. And when you're ready, write that word. And allow yourself to look at both of them and ask yourself, am I willing to open far enough to the infinite possibility associated with these words, with these ideas, with these beliefs, to let them be made manifest here and now? For it is up to us. It is up to choose a higher vision. It is up to choose a holder, to hold that higher vision for ourselves, to allow the divine to bless us. Allow the divine to, in that infinite possibility, give us choices for love and light and beauty. Look at it and know that what I see today with 2020 spiritual vision is to step up and see it every day. I'm going to give you two Ernest Holm quotes, and then I'm going to ask you to do something, and I will cry. Just saying, giving you a heads up on that one. But the first, this thing called you. You belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius back of the vast array of ceaseless motion, this original flow of life. You are as much a part of it as the sun, the earth, and the air. There is something in you telling you this, like a voice echoing from some mountaintop toward an inward vision, like the light whose origin no man has seen, like an impulse welling up from an invisible source. And from Help for Today, a book that he wrote in 58, let us therefore light the candle of love, human kindness, forgiveness, and understanding in our own soul, and let it shine brightly. Let us not peer into the darkness, troubled and concerned because it is so foreboding and unknown. Rather, let us remain steadfast in the radiance of that spiritual light of truth within ourselves. Let us stand guard so that the winds of malice, cross-purpose, ignorance, or misunderstanding will not blow out the light. Let us so live each day that the light from our candle of spiritual knowledge will forever be clear and understood, not only by ourselves, but by all with whom we come in contact. People are healed simply because they are in your presence. People feel loved simply because they are in your presence. People know the truth of who they are simply by being in your presence. So there's a rabbi named Sharon Bruce, and she has a ritual that she does with her congregation. And she has everyone stand up and say these four sentences. First sentence is, I am strong. I am mighty. I am worthy. And here we go. I can't do everything, but I can do something. It's easy to get lost in the world and say, what is one voice? One voice is everything. So, if you will, stand up. Put your hands up. I am strong.
I am strong.
I am mighty.
I am
worthy.
I am worthy.
I can't do everything, but I can do something.
I can do everything, but I can do something.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, everybody. So, it's time for prayer before y'all sing. So, Norman, if you'll hit some of the music for me, and the practitioners will stand and surround the room so that we can have one last powerful prayer. Knowing that we are one, knowing that we are strong, that we are mighty, that we are worthy, that ours is an important piece, the important piece that only we can do, that here in this very moment, we take a stand. We take a stand for the truth of who we are. We take a stand for knowing that there is an energy of love and peace and joy and kindness and happiness and tenderness, compassion, wisdom, clarity, joy, so, so much more. That each of us can hold the word that you have for your clear vision in your heart and know that each and every day that that word can be a guiding touchstone that allows us to stop, to stand still and see the world clearly, to see life clearly, to see ourselves clearly, to see the infinite possibility that awaits us all. It is ours for the choosing. It is indeed that exquisite expression that can only be us. And as we go forward into this new year, into this new decade, here at the center, we are making a conscious choice to have 2020 spiritual vision, where we are making a conscious choice to ask the question, what do I see today? And we're able to answer with what I see today is the highest vision for my life, the highest vision for the world, a world where everyone knows the truth of who they are, that people know the truth of who they are by being in our presence, that there is no place where God is not. I am the place where God shows up. Each and every one of us, we are the place where God shows up. In this moment, in every moment, in this moment and in every moment. So as we go forward from today, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, that we have planted in our heart, that we have planted in our mind, that we have allowed our very soul to shift and expand so that we see the world through 2020 spiritual vision. We see the world through the eyes of the divine. We see the world exactly as we want it to be. We see the world where we fit, where we know that we are loved and that we are loving. That we open to receive as much as we give. We are both supportive and supported. We are loving and we are loved. We are patient and kind to ourselves and the world around us. So as we wrap all of that up into our hearts, imagine that it's like a bright glowing ball that is anchored in your heart and becomes like a magnet. It is the magnet that draws everything to you. It is the light that allows you to see things differently if you forget. It is that exquisite truth that allows us to be a part of the world and its change, to be a part of the entering of clean, clear, kind, loving, peaceful, awake consciousness. For each one of us who does that makes a difference. Each person here in this room, by doing what they have done today, has made a difference. So I give thanks for this courageous group of people who have taken a stand for themselves, who have taken a stand for the center, and have taken a stand for the world, knowing that as we go forward, we do so with a sense of excitement, enthusiasm, expectancy, and gratitude, knowing that the beautiful synchronicity of both love and law always brings about the perfect yes. And so it is. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year.